Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode cut out for a second. Looks like it's fine on the recording though. I think it was my headphones just being weird. Episode 607. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty, is laying somewhat close to me. He's near the window. He's laying by the cat tree that he won't sit in, because it's kind of wobbly. I understand why he won't sit in. I tried to, like, level it, put some Velcro on the bottom of it and connect it to the carpet to secure it a little bit more. Give him a little bit more security. You know, he's got three legs. I'm sure he's got balance issues to begin with, you know, right there. He's leaning a lot. But, sadly, I mean, it looks nice. But he doesn't want anything to do with that one. He won't lay on that one. If it was a box, he'd fucking go right in it. Anyway, 607, episode 607. Yes. I guess I'll start it out right out of the gate. Here, I did get an email, and I guess Shelley had also received this email. I got an email about the podcast-ish. See here, I guess it's from one of the developers over there, the devs, their dev team over at feedspot.com. And I apologize right now. I'm probably going to mispronounce person's name. Anuj Agarwal. Is the one that sent me this email. It says, "Hi, Josh. My name is Anuj Agarwal. I'm the founder of FeedSpot. I would like to personally congratulate you as your podcast, the Slapbox Podcast, has been selected by our panelists as one of the top 50 vulgar podcasts on the web. Over at blog.feedspot.com/vulgar podcast. That's an underscore podcast. It says here I can change my profile pic of the podcast or write a description and all your social media profile links as well. I don't really have any social media profiles really. Any sort of have a Twitter page, but yeah, I don't do anything on it. We had a, you know, Facebook thing, but then it got banned. Shelley was running it. They had issues with the name. So that just kind of disappeared after years. And then I just haven't bothered putting anything else up there. But it does say, as we use follower counts as one of the factors to rank the list. So, yeah, that's why I won't be number one, clearly. We don't really have any followers on social media, because that's kind of an issue. So, you know, I should probably start more of those. But, you know, we're like fucking 12 years into this thing. I don't see myself changing anytime soon. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Anyway, it says here, I personally give you a high five and want to thank you for your contribution to this world. Man. That's, I never thought of it that way, as this being my contribution to the world, but, I appreciate it. It says, this is the most comprehensive list of top 50 vulgar podcasts on the internet, and I'm honored to have you as part of this. We'd be grateful if you can help us spread the word by briefly mentioning about the top 50 vulgar podcast list in any of your upcoming posts. Please feel free to reach out with any questions. Best, Anuj. Again, hopefully I'm pronouncing that name correctly. But, it's cool. I've never been, to the best of my knowledge, on any kind of lists as far as podcasts go. I was thinking maybe, you know, somewhere high up on the list on, you know, maybe worst podcast. But, I don't know. There are people that listen to this. I don't want to shit on them. You know, I try to make it entertaining, but there's, I guess, the fact that, you know, I've been doing it forever and I don't make money doing it. It just feels like, you know, maybe I'm not that great. the vulgar got me, though. I mean, it is in our tagline, you know. Often vulgar, sometimes funny. There's a... I don't even... Shit, I can't even say the full... tagline. I haven't had to say the tagline in forever. But often vulgar is in there. And I feel like it's just not often enough anymore. I don't really talk about shit much. And my voice is still off. As I've still got lingering effects of fucking cold from like 2-3 weeks ago. Whatever the fuck it was now. It just won't go away. Just won't go away. The Guinness last night did not help. I finally finished off the Guinness in my fridge from St. Pat's. And spilt one, a good portion of one of them on the floor, unfortunately. As it was kind of a pain trying to get that smell out of the carpet. But I think I managed to do so, although my sense of smell is not the greatest. I mean, I can smell things. It's just, I got so much snot in there. I don't trust my sense of smell right now. I would have thought by now that the mucus, the loads of mucus draining in the back of my throat would have just like dried up already at this point. And just, you know, stopped. I don't know, stopped producing? I don't know how much mucus the human body can really manufacture in a day, but apparently it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's just like, it's the high production. It's like my body has gone into like war mode. You know, the industries that, you know, used to make fucking car parts are now making tank parts. It's like, it's all, everything's going to mucus. Everything, like, the stuff that used to heal my body is, or, well, not heal, but, you know, produce, like, I don't know, fingernails is now, it's gone over and switched over to mucus production. It is, full scale. We're going full scale ahead on the mucus production. It is a abnormal amount of, snot and phlegm and just goo coming out of my body. Not of out of every orifice. Just out of the throat and nose area. There's maybe the ear, I guess. My ears aren't so clogged up anymore, but there's ear, nose, throat sort of situation. And no, I never went to the doctor over it. Who would do that? I guess people that live in a country where they don't have to pay the doctor. Where there's, you know, like single payer stuff. Where you're not on the hook for a lot of money every time you visit them. Anyway. Yeah, I figured I would talk about mucus and everything there for a little bit. I just had to go in there. I figured maybe that's a little bit more on the vulgar side, because normally it's, I'm just talking about what's going on this week. Not so much. And man, my voice is really annoying me. I gotta admit it. Like, hearing my voice in these headphones, it really seems that, you know, sometimes when I'm sick, I like the timbre of my voice. It just sounds great. I'm not liking this so much. This is not so great. I feel like maybe I should have rocked some Benadryl last night when I went to bed. I do that normally on most nights these days, and it does help dry everything out. And I didn't do that last night. I just had like 3 and a partial Guinness, because the one part of the fourth was actually the third one. A lot of that went on the floor and on some of these cords here. I had to had quite the incident there. Anyway, back to the feed spot. I digress. That's what I do on this podcast. It should be called just Digressions with Josh Albrecht. Maybe one day I'll change it to that, because it seems like a little bit more correct advertising, you know, a little less false advertising than having the often vulgar. Sometimes funny sounds right, because I feel like sometimes I say something that's funny. it's sometimes, perhaps rare, but sometimes often vulgar. Maybe it should be more like kind of vulgar at times. Or I guess extremely vulgar at times. But it's been a long time since it's been extremely vulgar. On this list, though, the 50 best vulgar podcasts. Apparently, okay, this is what it says they go their rankings from here. Ranking is based on one, expertise and credibility. Well, I mean, I've been doing it a long time. I know how to use a microphone. I got that going for me. Two, content quality and relevance. I mean, I'm usually just talking about what's going on in my life. I guess I do talk about current events sometimes. Like I talked about Diddy last week. And side note, another digression. I did not know until after I recorded the show last week. I didn't hear the story about Kid Cudi and Diddy. Apparently, I don't remember the specifics. I don't really want to go over the whole story and like Google it right now. But apparently, Kid Cudi, I guess, had the admiration or something of a lady that Diddy was into or something to that nature. Diddy wasn't happy with Kid Cudi for whatever reason and threatened to blow up his car. And lo and behold, Kid Cudi's car blew up from a pipe bomb or something of that nature. So, you know, maybe somebody else had it out for Kid Cudi and just blowing up his car. Maybe Kid Cudi's most prized possession was that car, and there was a lot of people that wanted to blow up that car. It was just convenient that allegedly Diddy threatened to do so. That's a pretty crazy story. I had known that, you know, he had been, let's say, involved in a few shootings to that nature, but I didn't know about, like, the car bombing. It was like, did Diddy hang out in Ireland during the time of the Troubles? Was there, which, again, the Troubles, really, it's insulting to call it the Troubles. I know that's what they call it in Northern Ireland, but that's, you know, a lot, thousands of people died because of the violence there during the time of the Troubles. But, you know, car bombs were a thing. Often. But, yeah, I don't know that Diddy hung out in Ireland at that time. Anyway. Yeah. Back to the rankings here. Here's one. Number three is longevity and consistency. Now that, I know, bam, I've done that shit. Going on 12 years. Been doing this weekly for pretty much all 12 years. The first year, there was, I don't know, a few months where it was we were only doing it really every other week. But I don't recall it lasting real long at every other week. I feel like it was rather quickly became every week, but I don't remember. And number four is audience engagement. That is another thing I'm lacking. The number three seems to be the only... Possibly two. I guess maybe one, expertise and credibility. I mean, I did work in radio for a little while. I went to school for the shit. So I do have some expertise on the stuff. On the technical side, as far as recording, using microphones, that sort of thing. maybe that loans to credibility. But audience engagement is definitely in the lacking. not really... Something I'm very great at. Says here, how is this list made? There are several ways we discover new podcast shows. One, we have a research team who does extensive research on Google and podcast search tools to discover new shows. Two, hosts and podcasters submit their shows on FeedSpot using the form on this page, which I was not aware of this, so I'm guessing the research team found this podcast, this gem, if you will. Number three, FeedSpot has in-house media monitoring tools for discovering podcasters in several niche categories. So maybe that's possibly how that went. It says, our expert editorial team reviews each podcast show before adding it to a relevant category list Podcasts that feature industry insights, news, and personal opinions rank higher than those that promote their own brand or products. I don't have industry insights, but I talk about news a little bit, and personal opinions, definitely. That's definitely something. It says, we routinely remove inactive podcasts and those which are no longer relevant to the list. List is updated as we receive new podcast show submissions and re-ranked every few weeks. Follow this extensive and rigorous methodology. Yeah, get a little tongue-tied. Methodology. I know the word. I don't know why I'm slipping. We attempt to deliver a professionally curated selection of top-quality podcasts within the chosen category, provided our users with a great resource for discovering exceptional content in their areas of interest. If you have any feedback or would like to get in touch with our editorial team, you can email us at team@feedspot.com. That's team@feedspot.com. Anyway. So yeah, that's a little the knowledge of the story, how that possibly we got on this list. I don't think I've said it yet. But the Slapbox podcast, this current podcast you are listening to. They do have my X page on here. The 82. I have 82. I don't even know how many people follow me on Twitter. Or X, rather. So I guess that did contribute to shit. Anyway. We are number 23. We are the Michael Jordan. Or LeBron James is more relevant, I guess, these days because he's still playing. But Michael Jordan is the number 23. Let's get real. That's the reason why LeBron picked 23. Anyway. We are the Jordan. I wouldn't, not really. I mean, is there a not so great 23 player? I mean, I'm not going to go say we're the GOAT of vulgar podcasts, because that would probably be like number one, right? No, 23. We share a number with Jordan, not any kind of acolytes or anything. I gamble a little bit. Jordan gambles a lot. I know that there was a story I'd heard that, maybe I mentioned this on the show before, but there was, whenever Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were on the Bulls, they had a thing at the arena there in Chicago. I forgot the, name of the arena where the Bulls play. They had this horse race thing. It was a pre-recorded video. They would play during the game, and I guess fans could choose which horse was going to win, and I guess you win a prize if you pick the right one or something. Something to that effect, or it was just for fun, funsies. I don't recall the details behind it. But every game, Michael Jordan would make a bet with Scottie Pippen on which horse was going to win. And he won every fucking time. The way he won is he would go to the people there that made the videos for the stadium. He'd go in there and be like, which horse is going to win? Because they pre-recorded it. And they tell him. And then he fucking did that to win a bet with Scottie Pippen every day. Or every game, rather, that they played in Chicago. So, I wonder how long he did that to Scotty before Scotty either A, figured out, or B, that he just like told, Scotty, that shit's predetermined, right? Somebody had to like inform him of this, right? Or had to catch on, like, how do you get this right every single fucking time, Michael? Like, you are fucking Nostradamus over here. Anyway, yeah, I'm not like that, I guess. So there's really not anything Jordan-like other than perhaps a current listing of number 23. Anyway, back to the list. another digression. Took me a little out of the way here, but back to the 50 Best Vulgar podcast on Feedspot. Shelly sent me a photo to another digression. Damn it. There's the cards game. That's nice. Anyway, the 50 Best Vulgar podcast. I did stake out earlier. I wanted to stake out the competition here and maybe see if I can't move up that list a little bit. Although I like the number 23. If I could just stay at 23, I don't see me getting number one here. I mean, I'd have to go on a full court press. Like, the number one podcast here has 5.3 thousand Facebook followers, 7.9 thousand X followers. I'm not going to crack that. I'll put a page together and maybe get 100. It's not. Number one here, Distorted View Daily. I did listen to parts of the top three just to get a feel for what the competition is like. And they do have, it sounds like pretty much all of them do use some music and whatnot. There's a little bit of production going into it. It does sound like maybe I have better mic placement and stuff. There's less echo. There's some stuff that kind of bothers me as a someone that listens to a lot of fucking people speaking on audio. I'm not saying I'm the best, by no means. But listening to this, like, oh, man. But I have been doing this for 12 years. And you listen to the early days of this show, mic placement was a horrible thing. We had a lot of echo, especially in the days when we were recording in Edwardsville at Shelley's old apartment. There was a lot of echo. I had a bitch of a time. The apartment was weird. It had tall ceilings in the area we were recording in, and there was a skylight, and it had like a chimney almost thing that led to a skylight that went pretty high up into the ceiling there, and it's like the audio would just fucking echo through that thing. Like, we should have probably covered that with something. So it was a fucking moving blanket or something. We could have done some shit that would have added to the setup time, but would have helped with the audio. Nowadays, recording, I tell you what, recording with one microphone makes it way easier to cut down on echo, that sort of shit, because, you know, I'm running a condenser mic. I just run with low gain and put my mouth right up to the microphone, basically. And that really helps get rid of a lot of that echo and everything. I'm not sitting real close to a wall to where the shit will bounce off it and whatnot. But there's definitely, I don't know how old like these podcasts are, but I mean, I would imagine you go long enough, you're going to figure out these sort of things with the mic placement. But I mean, they do have music going on. I start the show with some music that I... open source music and added the slap box in there. But there's not a whole lot of production value on most of these shows. That's definitely something. And definitely I haven't really worked at building up a fan base on social media. It's not something that, that's definitely, yeah, I don't see me cracking the top 10 here. I didn't really listen to enough of these podcasts to really get a feel on whether or not they were my cup of tea. I'm just going to assume they're probably much vulgar than me. I mean, number one is Distorted View Daily out of Cincinnati, Ohio. It says an adult comedy podcast for freaks, which I like the sound of that. It's got a cool logo that is way better detailed than the Slapbox logo that was made 12 years ago that I made really shittily I guess it was GIMP I used for that. I took a picture of my own hand and like traced it in GIMP and like made a shitty box on GIMP, and it was just a literal slapping of a box. But there, the distorted view daily, to describe it, it's almost like a bouncy ball with a face sort of thing, but it's not really a bouncy ball. I mean, it's just like a ball of a face that's got these crazy teeth, these pretty cool teeth and eyes that almost like a Carnage from Spider-Man kind of eyes, almost-ish, not really. And there's like, it's almost like a face of liquid as opposed to like a ball. There's like droplets coming in a swirl around the face, and then it's got a DV, almost like a Manson-style tattoo on the forehead there. It says DV on this caricature here. It kind of reminds me of the sun on 40 Ounce to Freedom, the art sorta-ish on the Sublime's 40 Ounce to Freedom. Ish, not really. Or there was the Mad Balls. That's something it kind of reminds me of from the 80s. There was the, let's see if I can find some pictures of this, Mad Balls. I feel like this is a not safe Google search. I'm going to, you know, perhaps find a testicle that's just deformed, has some kind of fucking, I don't know, like a cyst on the side or pus coming out of it. Mad Balls. But actually, no, it seems to be a pretty safe search. Is it they do show these Mad Balls. And because I had a mask of one of the Mad Balls as a kid. It was the baseball. It had like a big tongue coming out. And basically it was like balls that, you know, were also creatures. I wonder if that had anything to do with their logo idea. I mean, this is kind of Mad Ball-ish. As I'm looking at these, and there's just, I mean, balls with faces is what they are. They've got, like, some of them are sports themes, like the baseball. One's like a Predator one. That one's kind of cool. It's like cartoonish Predator ball. And it just looks fucking 80s style. Just classic, classic stuff. I don't know if they're still making Mad Balls. Some of these look like they might be newer. I'm pretty sure they were in the I don't remember what year in the 80s that came out, but I'm pretty sure that dipped into the 90s or maybe even started in the 90s. Anyway, yeah, it gives me good. I enjoyed the Mad Balls, so I respect this logo. It is very Mad Ball-ish. Anyway, that's the first one. I don't know if there's more than one person involved in that one. I just heard the one guy talking. And then there's number two. I mean, cocktails, dirty discussion. That's cock, as in cock, my throbbing cock. C-O-C-K, cocktails. Dirty discussions. It's out of Atlanta, Georgia. Let's see. It's Cocktails, Dirty Discussions is hosted by Kiki Said So and Medina Monroe. Both women are in different stages of their love lives. One single and one, I'm assuming, married. In a serious long-term relationship. The women give uncensored accounts about their sex and dating lives, relationships, and what it's really like to navigate the sea of love in Atlanta on Cocktails. The ladies gather over great drinks and discuss the latest happenings in their sexual experience, dating lives. Now, see, you know, in the early days of this show, we did a bit of drinking on the show. In the first, like, I don't know, fucking 2 years, there was a lot of PBR going on. A lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon, because they had in the bottles back then. I don't know if they still do this. I haven't had PBR in years. But if you took the cap off, like, they had different playing cards. You had, like, you know, Ace of Spades, Queen of Hearts, whatever. There was one for each card in a playing deck. And we had to drink them all until we got a full deck going on. Not that any of us were big into playing poker or anything. But I guess it was like Pokemon. You had to catch them all. Shelly finally caught them all. And we never played poker with those fucking things. It was just a bunch of bottle caps with like three of clubs. lot of drinking. And there's no guarantee which ones you're going to get. You got to get 52 individual ones, you know? That's a lot of booze. And there was only a few places we could get PBR in bottles. It was always a trick. Before the show, we had to go make sure we got those PBR bottles. Anyway, what I was going to say is, I mean, things do get vulgar when you have some cocktails or PBR, if you will. Because the early days of this show was vulgar. There was maybe possibly more than often vulgar. Whereas now, maybe not so fucking much. but I guess it depends on your definition of vulgar. I mean, talking about shit, you know, mucus, phlegm, pus-filled balls. I feel like that stuff could potentially land on the vulgar side of things. But yeah, I mean, I listened to a little bit of theirs, and both of them have very good voices. I mean, I definitely get that. And the first gentleman, good sounding voices. It's just like the mic situation is like that's the one area I think I could do better at. I could probably set up the mics better for them. It's like the only thing. Other than that, you know, they did have also some music and stuff and more production, it seemed like, in the show. Again, though, I didn't really listen to much. I'm going to venture to guess that they earned their spots definitely just hands down, destroying, kicking our ass. I didn't listen to any close to us on the list here. So I don't know if maybe we should be further down the list. I mean, probably should be further down the list. And then I really only listened to like the third one because I mean, this is like right before the show. I wasn't going to listen to the third one, but that TRSI is what it's called, which didn't give me a whole lot of description. I don't know what TRSI means. But I did see that it's based in Ireland. I was like, well, fuck me. I got to listen to this shit. A vulgar podcast in Ireland. You're talking about two things that are close to my heart. And it should be noted, the Facebook followers, they have 66.6 thousand followers. So 666, baby. Right there. Mark of the Beast. Hell yeah. Out of Ireland. Oh, I don't know what TRSI means, but it says their description for the podcast. It's basically just a more vulgar version of Statler and Waldorf, which I'm not familiar with Statler and Waldorf. It sounds familiar. Like, I should probably know that. But I'm going to have to do a Google search. Statler and Waldorf. Let's see here. Oh, it's the pup. Okay, that's why I know the name. It's the puppets from the Muppets. Puppets from the Muppets. It's the Muppets. The two old guys. Which I'm down with that. I love the old puppets from the Muppets. Statler and Waldorf. It's been forever since I've watched any of the Muppets movies or anything of that nature. So the names, like, though rang a bell. Didn't exactly, it wasn't my 43-year-old brain that is fresh off a night of 3.5 Guinnesses isn't going that sharply. So I had to do a Google image search, and bada bing, bada boom, figured that one out. But I got to say, of the ones I listen to, I mean, I'd love to just listen to the TRSI just because of the fact that I love the fucking Irish accent. And I mean, I fucking love Ireland. That one, I didn't quite hear the vulgarity of it. I listened very briefly, though. I mean, we're talking like a couple minutes at the most. And, yeah. Anyway, I don't see us moving up much higher on this list. But I am appreciating the fact that they are acknowledging it. And to be on the, to just be on the list is an honor. And I almost went into an Irish accent there. Like I'm in an award show right now. I'd like to thank Agent Fox Mulder, my three-legged cat. He's been by my side for the last, I don't know, 2 years at this point. Is it 2022? Yeah, this is 2022. Yeah, he showed up. So 2 years. He's been by my side for the last 2 years. And of course, Shelly there from the beginning. Still been hanging out with the Shelly, but hasn't been on the show in a minute. It's been a minute or, you know, a bunch of days. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, check out FeedSpot. And apparently they've got lists on other podcasts. I mean, if you like, you enjoy podcasts. They've got all kinds of lists and ways to, you know, discover new stuff. And stuff that's not necessarily, you know, done by real famous people. I mean, this list, I'm glad to see, I'm glad to see that this list isn't like big name people in like the entertainment industry or anything, you know, like some big stand-up comedian or something of that nature. It's sounds like more unique podcasts because, you know, every fucking actor and comedian now has their own podcast pretty much. This is the real deal, Holyfield. You know, people that are just probably into podcasts. I mean, I imagine they probably have day jobs. I'm venturing to guess. Though they might make some money off these podcasts. I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't delved deep enough into these podcasts. I'm not sure if they're making money off ads anyway. But yeah, that was that. And I've had an interesting week, shall we say. Outside of that. I did get, I probably talked about them before, but I watch at work, since working at Can-Am, I've watched Good Mythical Morning every day at work, like on break time. I watch the Good Mythical Morning. I was aware of Rhett and Link beforehand, but it wasn't a part of my daily routine up until working at Can-Am, so the last like year and, I don't know, 7-8 months, whatever it's been. I've been watching The Good Mythical Morning at work on me break times. And I just purchased The Mythical Cookbook, which is, it says, Rhett and Link present The Mythical Cookbook by the mythical chef, Josh Scherer. And I imagine I'm going to have to cook at least one thing out of here. It's an entertaining book. I mean, just the picture. There's a fuck ton of pictures in here. You're a fan of Rhett and Link and Good Mythical Morning, or just the Mitchical? Fuck. My tongue is not cooperating today. Mythical Kitchen. Like they have the last meals that Tom Hanks was on one of those. Fantastic. I mean, who doesn't love fucking Tom Hanks? Although a lot of people theorize that, you know, he's, what is he, injecting the adrenochrome or whatever from children and stuff. He's one of those people involved in the crazy conspiracies. I think that's the adrenochrome thing that nobody would even have a clue what it was if it wasn't for like Hunter S. Thompson. And yeah. Anyway, adrenochrome. back to Good Mythical Morning. This is a entertaining cookbook. I mean, if you're familiar with the show, of course, they've got the, what a lot of, I believe this cookbook comes from is they're on Good Mythical Morning. They would do, which they still do, the Willet. And like they have the Willet pizza roll. They'll put, all kinds of different things in a pizza roll. They'll like goldfish, the snack goldfish. They'll like Willet pizza roll. And then they'll do like fish heads, Willet pizza roll. And, of course the fish heads or whatever, it's just always something thrown in there to make Rhett and Link puke at that point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm flipping through this. Like, there's a whole section to that's just, like, really fucked up stuff. And, like, you got the liver and onion donuts, which just looks just... Oh, I want to puke just looking at this. This is pumpkin spice pig's feet. Which I'm a fan of pumpkin spice. I don't know that I want... pumpkin spice pig's feet? Fish egg quesadillas? And the pictures in this are fantastic. Mustard ice cream, which I heard the mustard ice cream was actually pretty deep. Oh, this isn't like the... This is the more... serious stuff. Ben and Jerry's ice cream burrito, which looks fucking amazing, I gotta say. I just wanted to promote this book, and they're not a sponsor of this show. You got Oreo biscuits and gravy, which looks pretty amazing. There's some really good shit in here, and the pictures are pretty entertaining. I mean, I'm just a fan of the show and the people behind the scenes on it. Which I guess they're, you know, also on the scenes very much. it's a fun way to start the day. And I like the Willet. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they do on Good Mythical Morning. Willet's like one of my more favorite things. Whereas it can be entertaining. I remember one, they did a Willet barbecue, and they turned different things into a barbecue pit. One of them was a toilet, and it did get hot enough to, like, cook some stuff, if I recall, but, like, the ceramic or the porcelain of the toilet, you know, started breaking off, and, like, the whole thing started, like, breaking. It was pretty great. And one of the best things they had is, like, I don't remember if it was barbecue or, like, Willet smoker. Like, they turned everything to a smoker. Either way, same difference. And they turned a vending machine into a smoker, and man, it looked like that one actually turned out pretty good. It was like a really old vending machine, too. I love that show, and it's cool just having the cookbook. I don't know that I'll make any of it. I mean, I'm not much of a cook, especially since, you know, it's just me and the cat. So there's not a whole lot of reason to make, like, a big meal. If I cook some of this, you know, I better invite some people over or something. And that just doesn't happen much. But I'd like to at least make something out of there at some point. Somewhat validate my purchase. But it was on sale on Amazon, so I only paid, like, $22 for it. It's initially, the original sale price was, like, 30-something, I believe. I got it on sale for $22, if I'm not mistaken. Other than that, I guess the big news of this week, and maybe I kind of addressed it last weekend on the show, for about, I guess, a week, a little over a week, I started having real issues with the furnace, and it was short cycling. So, like, it would turn on, shut off, turn on, shut off, turn on several times before it would stay on. The heat, it initially was only dealing with the heat, then I started noticing it with the AC as well. And, you know, that's an issue. That's a big warning sign. The unit is 21 years old. So I knew that, shit, there's a strong possibility that I might need a new unit. And the thought of that was not pleasant at all. But I thought, well, hell, maybe it's just like a thermostat issue or something. I tried to troubleshoot it by, like, pulling some stuff up on the interwebs and determine if I could fix the problem myself. And just there's so many different things it could be. And I wasn't sure exactly how to take apart the furnace or what, you know, where to take it apart. I knew how to kill the power. Or at least I think I know how to kill the power. As long as the breakers are listed correctly on the breaker box, then I know how to kill it. I don't want to get shocked. That wouldn't be good. I've been shocked before by a decent amount of electricity. It's not fun. Anyway. So, yeah, I kind of fucked with the thermostat, hoping, like, maybe it's just a thermostat issue. And I didn't have any luck with that. So I called or no, well, I went online and just did like a request basically for, I'm assuming I chatted with the person, but it might have been like some kind of AI chat thing. I'm not sure. Either way, I had chatted with somebody from level 9, heating and cooling. And a couple days later, I got a response. They had called me. And I got a, I don't remember the gentleman's last name, but the service guy, technician that came out, his name is Chris. Don't recall his last name. Very large fella. I mean, he was over 6 foot. Very tall. And he showed up like right after I got off work. So, I mean, it worked out just great with that. He came in and very polite. And he looked at the thermostat first, took it off and, you know, tried to get turn it on, set it to different stuff to get it to short cycle. And then he's like, all right, where's the furnace? And again, this is a very large guy. You know, sometimes the furnace is like in an attic. And he's like, is it an attic? And well, I was like, it's upstairs. And he's like, oh, is it an attic? Like, I can't imagine this guy having to crawl through attics. Like, man, that's got to be fucking rough. I was like, no. It's just a closet. no attic involved. And so he was quite relieved, which that would fucking suck. As, he was just leaving home when he got the call that I was in need of a technician. And so I'm sure he was like, the last thing he wanted to do is he was like getting ready to go home is like crawl through a fucking attic. And so thankfully, you know, he didn't have to do that. But he took apart the furnace for me and showed me all the, and you know, we went over the stuff. You know, I told him how old it was and stuff. And he asked me if I changed the filters regularly, which I'm pretty good about that. I pay for more expensive ones, but he did show me that the filters I buy, they are more expensive, but they don't breathe that well. He specified I have the MERV 13, I guess, filters. He suggested I need to go with the MERV 10 filters because it just breathes through there a lot easier. And the coils was the first thing I believe he really looked at. And the coils were definitely dirty. And just the general stuff around, I mean, you could tell it looked like it was in rough shape. But I'm pretty sure before me living here that all the previous people that stayed here were just renting. So I imagine it wasn't receiving a whole lot of TLC. Because, you know, hey, when you're just renting a place, what the fuck do you care if the thing... I mean, there's probably something in the lease that says that you have to keep up with the filter changes and stuff. And, you know, maybe they might get on you if you end up having to, you know, get some maintenance done on the furnace. But I guess you could just quickly, if there was trouble, just buy a new air filter and throw it in there before anybody comes and checks it out. How are they going to know the difference? I mean, they can tell that it's just fucking dirty as shit. Anyways, yeah, he showed me that the coils were dirty, which was one of the problems, like the thing's not breathing very well, which is one of the big issues. The fan on the motor had what appeared to be either mold or mildew. Which is a big problem. You're not, you know, it's not good to breathe that shit in. It's just kicking that shit through the air. And then there were, I don't know the names of these parts, but there was some electrical components in there where there was burn marks on the contacts, which would suggest that there is a real issue there and that those parts would have to be replaced. And he said, in total, just from the stuff he was looking at there, replacing all of that would be in the vicinity of around $1,600 right off the jump right there. So, I mean, that's a lot of money to jump. And he said that that specific unit, that train unit that I have, is the lifespan of them is typically like 15 to 20 years old. So I'm like already past like the cutoff anyway. It's when they expect it to just fucking go out. And yeah, like I don't see the, you know, what's the point in dropping $1,500, $1,600 or more on a 21-year-old unit when, like he said, it, you know, he should be able to get it running, but, you know, that's like how long is it really going to, like, I'm just kind of throwing money out the, you know, his thing was, you know, how long are you going to be here? Because if you're going to be here a long time, you don't want to, it's probably a much better idea, but if I'm not going to be here long, I was like, I still got like 27 years and a few months left on the mortgage, something like that. And I haven't been here quite 3 years yet. A 30-year mortgage. So, you know, unless I sell the place, I'm here for a while. And going to probably eventually need a new unit. Probably make more sense to buy one. Unfortunately, said like the price range, which he's a repair guy. He's not an installer. So he's not real sure on the numbers as far as the new unit's concerned. So I've got next Thursday, I've got someone else from Level 9 coming over and to discuss my options as far as like a new unit is concerned. And from what he said, I'm looking at between $8,000 to like 14 or 15,000, I think he said, something of that nature. And yeah, I don't have that in the bank just sitting around. So that means I'm going to have to finance. And that means probably, I don't know how many year loan that could be and what the interest rates would be like. That's going to be a real pisser. The interest rates, motherfuckers. Because as far as I'm aware, the interest rates are still really high on loans. And I'm probably looking at least another car payment a month, basically. I'm going to venture to guess. Again, it depends on how many year loan, I think, and the interest rate. That's the two determining factors. But I'm going to guess, especially if it's in the $14,000 variety, that's pretty much like what I paid for my car. My car payments are like $265 a month. That's going to fucking suck if I have another payment like that every month. Fortunately, I have a little less than 2 years left on my car payment, though, and hopefully I can keep that running a few more years. That being said, man, yeah, it's I'm not looking forward to having that kind of payment going around. I would like the idea, though, on the somewhat plus side, he said I should be able to save a lot of money on my electric bill. So theoretically, even though I'm having like a $200-something payment, I mean, if I can bring down my electric bill like $50 or more, you know, a month, it'll offset some of that cost. Yes and no-ish. You know, a little bit. Not like a lot. Anyway. He did say that, give me some suggestions that I should get a heat pump. That should help bring down the electricity a little bit. Advise me on that. Like, I don't currently have a heat pump on this particular unit. But with using the heat from the outside brings that stuff in with the heat pump, and that should, because I have an electric heater, should bring down the cost of it by a decent amount, because I'm not using as much electricity. So that, I don't know if that's more expensive. Again, I'm not going to know the damage of this. I'm sure my credit's good enough to get the financing, but again, I don't know what the fucking interest rates and stuff are going to be. I mean, I don't feel like I have much of a choice. I mean, it gets fucking hot here these days. And it gets cold. I live in fucking Missouri. It can get really cold, really hot in the same day. And, you know, if it was just me, maybe I wouldn't be as concerned. Be like, you know what, maybe I can go for a little bit without worrying about a unit. Just being me. But I'm looking out for Agent Fox Mulder here. My three-legged amigo. My kitty friend. And I don't want him to suffer because I don't want to buy a new HVAC unit. So, you know, it looks like, yeah, I'm buying a new one. Not looking forward to see what that bill's going to be. But it'll be exciting to see, like, how better the difference is with the air. And this should maybe help with my, you know, breathing. I know that I've had issues, especially since being a welder, that I have issues with my lungs and whatnot. And, you know, if there's a real issue with mold and everything going around in the air system, like, this should hopefully get rid of that. And hopefully I'll have just a better breathing a little bit. The fellow Chris there, though, from Level 9 also suggested, because we were talking, I was telling him I was a welder and shit, and we were just chatting about general stuff, and he did say, you know, like, maybe I should look into doing what he does. And that there's some decent money there, and I wouldn't have to breathe in just awful fumes. So maybe there's a future in that. I don't know. maybe if I did it and be like, hey, can I do this and also get a massive discount on a new heating and air unit, an AC unit? Can I get like half off? If that's the case, there's a good chance that, like, next week I'm going to be switching professions. And the plus side, man, I would learn how to repair that shit, and I'd be good as gold, you know. I'd just learn how to do all that stuff, and then right as rain, motherfuckers. But yeah, that's a possible career choice at some point, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, later I could win the Powerball. I haven't got my ticket yet, which I need to do that. It's 2:30 in the afternoon, so I got a little bit of time. Got a little bit of time, but it's at $1.6 or $7 billion. So I'm the half of that is, you know, probably, what, $700 million? I'm not sure. Let's gander here. Oh, it's only $1.3 billion. My bad. It's not as high as I thought. $1.3 billion with a cash value of $608.9 million. Who could live off that? Fuck me. I mean, I'm still going to have to be a welder, I think, at that point. I mean, that is... I mean, I'd be lucky to pay for my meal tomorrow. Although, if I win that, you know, I might go for the more expensive unit. I mean, like, you know what? Let's splurge a little bit. How much... Hell, I might throw in a new roof. Let's go with a new roof, and we'll fix a few more things up in the penthouse here. We might make it into a real penthouse. I'll go old school penthouse. I'll go like 60s penthouse sort of vibes. I'll put carpet in the bathroom, on the floor, on the walls. It'll be old school fucking Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous shit. I mean, by the 80s, I don't think that was a thing, like carpet and on the flooring stuff. It's one of the most disgusting ideas. I don't like, even back then, you know, they were aware of germs by that point in the 1960s, which I think is around the time they decided, because I guess like carpet started to become more available at that point, and be like, it's just like, you want to show how much money you got. Put carpet in the bathroom, on the floor, on the walls. They had to already be aware of the fact that, you know, piss collects in carpet. Like, how? That's always mystified me that they would do that. But I guess if you got enough money, fuck, you could replace, you know, if you're some big playboy, you got a fucking millions upon millions of dollars. And you may be like, you know what? I'm going to replace this carpet like every couple of months. To show you how much money I got, just so I can feel that nice, soft carpet when I go to shit. When I inevitably dribble piss into the carpet, it'll be, you know, it'll be good to go. Imagine like how much that would have sucked to be like a maid or just whoever's cleaning the bathroom. I'm guessing if you put carpet in the bathroom back then, you probably had some money. Although the first house I put a bid on before this place, it did have carpet in the bathroom, and it wasn't like the most expensive. At the time, I'm sure it wasn't like the most expensive house. It was a good sized house, man. I liked the house a lot. I mean, I guess it was probably, it was bigger than this place. It probably was worth some good money, I guess, when they built it. But, I mean, they probably didn't have the money for a maid, though. Just saying. But I would venture to guess the first few people to put carpet in a bathroom probably had the money to have a maid or just somebody to clean the bathroom other than themselves. They had money to force somebody else to do it. I gotta imagine, man, that's a lot of shampooing. That's a lot of doing some stuff to that carpet. Like, there's probably a lot of YouTube. I'm gonna go on YouTube after this and see about, just put carpet in bathrooms and see, like, there's probably horror stories of, you know, ripping that out and just having just black mold all underneath that, you know, from years, decades of piss and shit. Hitting that carpet. There's got to be creatures that were created, birthed inside inside those carpets. Just coming up like just fucking black ooze. Just like forming into a creature. Just like, some kind of like X-Files creature just coming out of that carpet in that bathroom. Oh, it's feeding time. It just actually hit 2:30. That is the time I have set earlier. It was actually 2:25 when I said that. But it's if you could hear that, there was the jackpot for the automatic feeder there. And Mr. Fox, their Agent Mulder, is feeding. And every time he hears that, it's like a fire drill, man. He is just, there's a fire. What the fuck? I'm getting the fuck out of here. He bolts. And missing a leg does not prevent him from taking off like a racing horse. Let's go with there for a second. Just takes off like a racehorse. Just bam, gone. You could hear, you probably could hear the gallop as he bolted through the room. I mean, he was just laying down, minding his own business, chilling out, and then bam, fuck, it's feed time. Anyway, yeah. So I got that, you know, looking forward to, with the whole replacing that unit. And, thankfully, I guess I don't have to replace, carpet covered in shit and piss. Although my carpet now has got some Guinness in it. I tried to soak it up. It sucked too, because I was in the middle of a match on Call of Duty on the new Rebirth Island. Which of course, I mean, the map was from quite a while. They've already re-released it a couple of times. But we were doing good last night. We got 3 wins. They got a new contract on the Rebirth Island. If you get 30 wins in a month, you can get a nuke contract. And I've never had a nuke in Warzone or regular multiplayer. I've come fucking close on multiplayer. I was within like 2 or 3 kills of getting a nuke on multiplayer. When Cold War first came out, I was fucking the bee's knees on that. That's when I had a scuff controller that worked. And I was just fucking, I had a match that was like 41-3 or something like that. I don't remember how many you needed for a nuke on there, but I mean, I was close to nuking that shit. And I failed. That's the closest I've ever come on Call of Duty to a nuke. But now that they got this contract, or this on Resurgence, to where you just get the 30 wins within, I guess it's a month, or well, not a month, but I guess per season of COD, which season 3 just started. We got the 3 wins out of the way, and we only need 27 more. We can do that on fucking Rebirth, man. It's hard to do. Before, you could only do it on Big Map, the Battle Royale. And originally, to get a nuke on there, you needed, was it 5 straight wins on the big map? That's hard to do, man. That's hard to do. It's like 4 or 5 straight wins. I don't remember what it was. And then they did the Champions Quest where you could do 30 in a season. But again, it was just big map, not Resurgence. Now it's interesting. They have it on Resurgence. It's a lot easier to get wins on Resurgence. So there could be a nuke in the future. I mean, my team, man, we're pretty good when it comes to Resurgence. My KDR is shit. I was doing pretty good last night, though. Started out kind of rough. And I was rocking the melee, doing the Tomfa sticks. And there was 3 of us that were running Tomfa sticks on the quads. And we were fucking just meleeing the shit out of people. And it was fun. There's something just so fun on Call of Duty to just run melee. I know it pisses people off so much, too. And you run into a fucking room, throw a smoke grenade, and then just melee everybody to death in the room. I know. It drives me a little crazy when I'm playing. And then it's like, really? I just got me and like 2 of my other teammates just got meleeed to death by the same dude. It can be like, shit, motherfucker. But at least I'm not running the riot shield with it. I'm not being that asshole. Those riot shield assholes can go fuck themselves. I've ran in the past, but not with the melee. Anyway, yeah, I guess I'm about good here. We're number 23, the Slapbox podcast of the 50 best vulgar podcasts out there, according to FeedSpot. So go check out the FeedSpot, and it looks like there's, all kinds of podcasts on there. Says there's 100,000 podcasts listed on FeedSpot, and then there's 120 plus million users visited FeedSpot list. That's a lot of fucking people. There's 30 plus million users sent to podcasters' websites from FeedSpot lists. So that's a lot of traffic. Lot of fucking traffic. Maybe one day. Maybe 30 years into this podcast, I'll get my shit together. And we'll have a lot more stuff, a lot more, lot of bigger audience, maybe higher production value. There's some great names for some of these other podcasts, by the way. There's 2 Guys, 1 Canuck. I like that. I'm a big fan of that. That just sounds vulgar because it makes me think, of course, 2 Girls, 1 Cup. Make Sex With Me. That's those 2 are above us, of course. There's Pink Fohawk. They got a great logo. There's the Vulgar Burrito Podcast. It's got a burrito as a microphone, which is pretty awesome logo there. I definitely see why some of these are on the list here. Just by, like, the names and the logos. I mean, some people have got their fucking game on, man. Their game on. There's the Send Nudes podcast, which I'm going to venture guess that there's probably some people sending them the nudes. And I respect the place that they're from here. It's Crystal Lake, Illinois. I hope there's a camp nearby. I love me some Camp Crystal Lake. Which, before I get off, side note, I am excited and saddened at the same fucking time. I know that there's been talk, and I've talked about it a while ago, that there is a new Friday the 13th game coming out. And I love the last one that came out. Big fan, but, the lawsuit fucking killed it. And there was more shit that they were putting out. They're going to put the Jason X out and all kinds of fun shit. More game modes and everything, and it just got completely kiboshed and just fucking eradicated, basically. And they just shut the servers down, I guess. Delisted the game. You can't buy the game, like, online on Steam anymore or anything as of, like, I think it was December 31st, something of that nature. And I believe the servers are shutting down before too long if they... you haven't already, which I think they're still active, but I mean, you can still play the solo missions and stuff on there that are not online, but I fucking love that game. As far as survival horror, I mean, I played the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I kind of quit playing it. I didn't play it for very long. I got that one. I mean, it's fun, but it doesn't excite me as much as Friday the 13th did. I did the Evil Dead a little bit longer than that. It's cool, but that one's very, very repetitive. Because, I mean, in that one, I think where it fails in that one, it's you have to do the same things every time to win. There's not any variety to it. Whereas the Friday the 13th, to win, I guess as Jason, it's always the same thing. You could just murder everybody. That's the whole point. But as the counselors, there's various ways to get the fuck out of there. One, which is kind of the hardest, survive the night. Just avoid Jason till the night is over, which is a match like 15 minutes, something like that. Then, of course, you know, you fix one of the cars and then drive the fuck out of there. You got to get to one of the exits, and Jason can go and come after you. He gets alerted where that car is, and he knows, of course, when somebody's like working on one and shit. You get out that way. You can fix the phone line and then call the police, and then you have to exit where the police are. Find out where the police are sitting and go to there, which, again, you're going to have to fucking run there. So it takes some time, unless you fix the car and then drive to the police exit, which if you're driving the car, you can just go to the exit anyway. So there's no point to that. And to fix the car, you got to get the battery. See, it's been a while. The battery, the gas, and the keys. You got to find all those. And then fill her up and fix the battery and then start it. And so there's some degree of difficulty to it. There's a lot of degree of difficulty to it. Some of it's luck. Then there's on some maps, you got the boat, which again, you got to get the gas. And I guess there's keys to fix that one. And then... there's also, I'm thinking about it. It's been a while since I played. Yeah, there's call the police, which to call the police too, you got to fix the phone line. There's like a fuse or something you got to get. And, they call the police. And of course, Jason gets alerted on all these things once you're doing them. And then the hardest way to do it, but yet the most satisfying, which this you need like a team effort to do so, you can kill Jason, which requires someone to go find Jason's cabin, which randomly spawns throughout the map. It's not in the same spot every time. So you have to find his cabin and steal his mother's sweater. Then somebody also has to come back as Tommy Jarvis. So somebody has to die and come back as Tommy Jarvis already to get the kill, because Tommy's the only one who can actually do the kill shot. And then you have to beat Jason and knock off his mask. So you have to kick the shit out of Jason quite a bit. I mean, this is a real team effort. And you got to knock that mask off him. I've helped out in a kill before. And I was like, oh, this is exciting. But I didn't really do much of it. I didn't find the sweater or anything. I was just there, like, helping beat Jason, if I remember correctly. And... yeah, so a female character has to put on the sweater because she has to pretend like she's Jason's mom. And then one of them has to have Jason's mask into their inventory. I don't remember if it's the one with the sweater. Somebody's also got to have that like in their inventory to be able to. And then one of the real kickers is you have to, before like doing the sweater thing, you have to take down a lot of Jason's health to begin with, and there's no way to know how much you've really hurt him. There's just kind of, there's no life bar or anything like that. You just got to beat the shit out of him for a while and then do like the sweater thing, and then he's like stunned, I guess. It's been a few years since I've done this, so my recollection is a bit hard. Somebody stuns him with the sweater trick, and then Tommy Jarvis has to hit him with a fucking machete for the kill shot. And, yeah, that's like, it's a real team effort, but man, when you're involved in like, yeah, fuck yeah, we did it. See, that is Whereas the Evil Dead, I love Bruce Campbell and I love having the characters from the Evil Dead, but again, it's just the same shit every round. You gotta get the dagger, the book, and then go defeat the one thingies, the demons or whatever. Basically. And then yeah, that's pretty much it. Like every round. Same thing. Same thing. Stuff spawns in different spots, but at the end, I mean, you're just fighting deadites. And but the Friday the 13th, there's just enough differences in it. Like each game is so unique, and it depends on who you're playing with. I mean, it's fucking exciting to me, that Friday the 13th one. I mean, I don't see, I never really got it. I tried to play Dead by Daylight. I know a lot, that's a really hugely popular one. I never really got into that one. But I, of the games, the horror, like games like that sort of concept, I would say Friday the 13th is my favorite. I mean, I grew up watching the shit out of those movies. But that being said, what I was going to get to is they put out, there was nobody affiliated with the original game, but there's these modders that put out, are putting out a new mod. It might be out now. Well, I think it's April 15th is when it comes out. It's Friday the 13th Resurrected, and they're adding Jason X. There are a couple different Jason X. There's one where he's like frozen and stuff. There's the android from Jason X. There's a bunch of shit they're adding to this game, which is fucking exciting. They've got their own devoted servers to it. So, I mean, oh, man. Oh, I'd love to fucking play this again with all the shit they're adding into it. However, pretty sure it only works on the PC, of course, this mod. I unfortunately do not have the PC version. Had I known they were going to put out this mod, I would have fucking bought it for $5 right before they stopped selling the game on Steam. I would have just fucking, it was like $4 or $5. I'd have bought the fucking thing. Like, son of a bitch. I love that game so much. Had I known they were going to, somebody was going to put out this big fucking mod for it and just new, you know, their own servers and like, holy shiznit. Oh, I'm saddened that, yeah, I don't have access to that. I mean, there might be a way to, I guess, probably still to get the game somehow on PC. I know there's still physical copies you can buy for like the PlayStation and whatnot. I don't think there's any physical disc or anything you can get for the PC. But yeah, it's, oh man, it's such a shame. Such a shame that I can't play that. It's so exciting. Hopefully the new game that's coming out in the future will be on the same par as awesomeness. But Illphonic and Gun Media, man, they really had a love for Friday the 13th, and it showed the way they fucking put it into the game. The characters and everything they put in. I mean, these guys clearly love the shit out of the Friday the 13th film franchise. And really, really fond of that game. Anyway, so yeah, I guess that's about all I've got. So as always, that is A Kid in a Wheelchair, Not a Trash Can.